You're listening to the Serenity Gaming Podcast. This is episode number 5. On this week's show, we talk about games. Hello, everybody, and happy Friday. Welcome back to the Serenity Gaming Podcast. We are back this week with... talking some games with you. Justin, you are back from your work trip that you were on last week.
My workcation. Back again.
Your workcation, how did that go for you?
That was good. We went a few hours up north to work on a bunch of cottages. The downside was that internet was terrible and no Wi-Fi. It was a nice little getaway, but unfortunately, no way to do a podcast from there.
No, but that's okay. That just means we have more things to talk about today, so that's fun. I think we'll just, for today's episode, we're going to go into a little bit of the news that's happened over the last couple of weeks, couple of things that have caught our attention, and then we're going to talk about some of the games we've been playing over the last 2 weeks since our last episode.
All right, so a neat, tidy little podcast this week.
I think so. So, Justin, why don't you start off? Why don't you give us the first news headline for the week?
All right. First on my list of news headlines. So if you own a Wii or a DS or a DSi, and you've gone to the shop channel to re-download any of your games, you may have noticed lately that it has been basically offline. Now, the Wii and the DS shops have been sort of closed for quite a while, I think. You haven't been able to buy new games on them, but you have been able to go on and download or re-download games that you've already purchased. So if you had to replace some hardware or whatever, you've been able to re-download games that you've purchased before, but it has been down or offline for a few days. However, Nintendo has just made an announcement regarding that, that they are undergoing maintenance and plan to have them up again in the near future. So that's some happy news.
Yeah, it's good that they commented on it right away. Definitely a scary thing thinking about especially like the Wii Shop, where so many virtual console games and stuff that I'm sure people have and would love to have access to at all times.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're tied to any account either, right? Because I think it's just tied to your specific hardware. You could maybe transfer your whole profile over to another Wii or back it up onto an SD card or something. But
yeah, definitely. I'm pretty sure that's how it works. And that's a scary thing about digital property, right? Because if you don't have something physical in your hands that you can keep, if you suddenly need to get access to something and it's not available, sorry.
I know. So hopefully, I don't know. We could talk about this for a while, but just Nintendo's not super great history at bringing forward a lot of the older stuff, a lot of the older games and whatnot.
Yeah.
Like there's still tons of the virtual console games that we don't have access to yet on the Switch anymore. So definitely something I hope. I mean, we've definitely seen improvements over the last... Yeah, since the Nintendo Switch Online. So hopefully they keep reiterating on that. And hopefully they keep this going forward to the next console. Because, it's like been like every console so far. They've basically restarted their virtual console. It's like since the Wii, right? We used to have virtual console, but you had to repurchase the games. For a while there, you only had to pay $1 or something silly to upgrade to the Wii U version.
That's right, yeah.
But definitely something that... it's a little bit concerning for sure.
Yeah, and the classic games that you're able to play through the Nintendo Switch Online, obviously it's not nearly as extensive as what was available back on the virtual console.
Yeah, for sure.
So back then you had more to choose from, and you could sort of pick and choose, purchase the game, and I think they're pretty reasonable if I remember. I think it was like $5 for an NES game, $8 for Super Nintendo, and maybe $10 for an N64 game. And then it was yours.
Sounds about right.
I mean, as much as, like we said, digital property can be yours. I mean, it kind of makes sense that they didn't open up the big wide virtual shop completely if they, as they've clearly planned on bringing the access to the like the Nintendo Switch Online to the NES and the SNES and now the Nintendo 64 available with the expansion pass. So
I don't really have
complaints about the way it is now. I kind of like it.
No, I was going to say that too. I think I kind of prefer the subscription model now just because I'm not going to pay $10 for each one of those games anymore to have them all. So it's just kind of nice to have them on the Nintendo Switch Online and I can just jump on there from time to time and play them when I have a hankering.
Mm-hmm. So. For sure. Yeah. I mean, some of the games you might not ever try. A lot of them you might play, you know, just for a few hours because why not? They're there, right? It doesn't cost you anything extra to give them a try. But yeah, it's nice to know that they haven't forgotten completely about the Wii U for sure, but the Wii, it's nice to know that it's still alive. If you have some digital property on there, it's still available, so that's good
for now. Well, we'll see
for now. Yeah, it's not gonna last forever, but
no, it's not gonna last forever. And yeah it's too bad that just going through those jumps they didn't have a way for you to keep your copy of Mario Brothers 1 from the Wii to the Wii U and carrying on, but that's okay. Like we said, pretty happy with the Nintendo Switch Online implementation. Just I would like to see them get into a few more of those the third party games and that sort of thing. Like, where's Super Mario RPG? I would like that on my Switch, please.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, going on from there, let's keep talking about the Switch. There was a Switch firmware update, I think yesterday when we were recording this, so I didn't get a chance to check it out yet, but we have folders on the Switch now. How excited are you for folders?
I kind of like folders. I definitely, I mean, it's not the most exciting news in the world, let's be honest, but I know that I remember on my 3DS, it was getting kind of cluttered on there, so I definitely use the folders to tidy that up. Yeah, I don't know how much I'll really use it on the Switch. I know that if you scroll too far on the home screen of the Switch, you just have to go into looking at more games and then it just lays them out in a big grid. So
big grid, yeah.
I mean, but I haven't really messed around with the folders too much yet, but I'm sure it can only be a good thing. So
yeah, it's always good adding more options. I heard that they're not actually on the main screen though. You have to go into a separate screen for your folders, which is kind of funny. Anyway, I never really had much of an issue with the way the Switch UI is. I'm only playing a couple different games at a time, so they're always there on the front within the front couple games. So
yeah, for sure.
Not too big of a deal for me.
Yeah. All right. Next I have some interesting information regarding something called FSR technology, which is coming from AMD. Now, I guess what we know about how this is getting used by the Switch is that apparently, so there's a game that has just come out called something True Colors. What's the game? I've played the first version of it on PC. Life is Strange. Life is Strange.
Right. Okay.
And that game, made by Square Enix, and they've announced that this game is taking advantage of this FSR technology. So basically, what it is, kind of strange because it's from AMD, where the Switch has a NVIDIA Tegra chip in it. It is, let me look up real quick. It is the Fidelity FX Super Resolution, which is basically upscaling of the graphics using machine learning. So essentially, games will be able to run on a lower resolution natively on the console. Mm-hmm. And then they are upscaled and they'll run at a higher resolution, like some, you know, and which basically the long and short of it is that games are going to be playable on the same hardware, but at better resolutions and better frame rates. So now this is a technology that has sort of been available like it's not new technology. NVIDIA has had this since about sometime in 2019, I guess. But it's associated with the hardware in their case, and the NVIDIA chip in the Switch is not capable of it. So, but apparently the AMD FSR technology does the same thing. But it is, it's not using the hardware, it's using the software to do it. So it's a matter of new games coming out, taking advantage of this technology. So,
very cool.
Yeah, so it's pretty exciting. And yeah, so the Life is Strange is using it for sure. And we also know that it is being used in the Switch Sports game that is.
Yeah, I was just reading that, Nintendo Switch Sports. Very cool. Mm.
Yeah, so that's exciting. Kind of prolonging the longevity of the Switch.
For sure.
It's kind of nice. It's getting a little it's a little free upgrade, basically.
Yeah, so I wonder how much that's going to come into play on PCs and stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
If that's even, this is the first I'm hearing about it, so just kind of thinking. But yeah, if I don't have to upgrade my old computer for longer, that sounds great to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I heard earlier that the definitely the NVIDIA RTX graphics cards are using this technology. Other than that, I don't really know about how it is affecting PC, but it seems to be. It's also definitely being used by Xbox. I saw notes about that, so it's basically just good news all around.
Yeah, for sure.
Better graphics.
Yeah, we want our games to look better and run better. If we can get both at the same time, that's great.
Absolutely. or running the same, but being gentler on the hardware, lower temperatures is all good.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, that is cool. All right, next up for me, there was a PlayStation. What do they call those? State of Play. A PlayStation State of Play last week around Hogwarts Legacy. Have you heard about the Hogwarts Legacy game?
I have.
So, as you can imagine, it's set in the wizarding world of Harry Potter, but it's in the 1800s, so pre-Harry Potter time. And this game is looking absolutely incredible. I'm very excited about it. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much exactly what anyone would want in a... Yeah, basically Harry Potter game. You're a wizard. You go to Hogwarts. You get sorted into a Hogwarts house. You get to go to all the Hogwarts classes. You can go to potions and just a whole bunch of all the different. We don't need to talk about all the different Harry Potter classes right now. But anyway, you make potions, go to Transfiguration, that sort of thing. But then there's also a storyline, and you're doing wizarding combat and stuff. And the game looks open world and very pretty and stuff. So
now, do you get to play the Harry Potter, the Hogwarts sport? What is the sport?
Quidditch. I think Quidditch was in the trailer.
I should hope so.
Yeah.
That's, if you can go to the class, I hope that you can play some Quidditch.
Yeah, for sure. That's got to be a mini game, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks really cool. Yeah, it's a pretty much anything you could imagine you want from a Harry Potter game. It looks like they're incorporating it into this one, so...
That now you said you saw it on the PlayStation, but
PlayStation had a separate State of Play last week just for this game. So it's about 20 minutes long, just information about this game.
Now, I think it's the same game, but I thought that it was announced for Switch as well.
Oh, you're right. It was after the PlayStation State of Play, they did confirm that it was coming to Switch and Xbox as well. Mm-hmm. That is correct.
Okay, cool.
So. I don't know. Nice. Maybe PlayStation's got some kind of just marketing deal with them or something for the game. But so it was at the State of Play, and then afterwards they confirmed it was coming to all the other consoles too. So
they get to make the big announcement.
Right. All right. Did you have anything else for news? That was it.
One other thing that I thought was kind of interesting. Apparently, a PC port of Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time has become available.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm definitely not clear on all the details, but it seems like it's a legal thing. It doesn't sound, I mean, Nintendo is Nintendo, but it doesn't sound like Nintendo is going to come charging into the room and
yeah, we'll see.
slap everybody on the wrists, but who knows?
They do like to do that.
Yeah, so I guess this has only been out for a couple of days now, and
yes,
I couldn't tell you where to go about getting it. I can only say that if you're going to look for a way to play Legend of Zelda on PC, please do it legally. Yeah, it supposedly is running in HD. It looks mm-hmm. very much like Legend of Zelda.
Right,
Ocarina of Time. Like, it's definitely not an HD remake by any sorts. It looks just like the same game. And yeah, actually, from the little bit of play that I saw,
It's just running natively on PC now. They kind of rebuilt it from the ground up to mm-hmm. play on PC.
Yeah, they basically broke down the code, just like backwards engineered it, and
yeah,
put it back together again. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how all the legal stuff works there, but it's the game. It's the full game, and it looks good. I don't think I would mm-hmm. bother, because we can play it on Nintendo Switch Online with the expansion pass if you want, or
mm-hmm.
I've probably got about 4 or 5 different ways to play.
Oh, sure.
To play that now, so
yeah,
I don't think 3DS, I'll bother playing it on 64. On my on my PC with a gamepad. So,
yeah, I think I heard people were excited for like mod support and that sort of thing coming into the game.
Okay,
because you can mod it now, and there'll be all sorts of crazy stuff.
Oh, yeah, that'll be. I'll keep my eye on that. I'm sure that'll be interesting to see how that evolves.
Hmm. All right, so let's jump into what we've been playing over the last couple of weeks since our last episode. I think I'll go first because I think I got a couple more games than you this week.
Mm-hmm.
So first up, I rolled credits on Pokemon Legends Arceus.
Hey, congrats. Yes.
Thanks. So yeah, enjoyed that game all the way through. I went through all the main post-game quests until I got to the very last one. This is a spoiler for the game a little bit, but the very last quest, you have to catch all of the Pokemon before you can complete the last quest. And I'm not anywhere close yet. So,
okay.
We'll see. I think I put it down for now. I'll probably kind of keep catching them every once in a while. I'll go back to it a little bit and catch a few more.
And how many Pokemon are there total that you need to catch? Yeah.
So I think it's only 240 something in this version. I think it's like 248 or something like that.
Okay.
So not too
bad. Not nearly as bad as 900 Korok seeds.
Yeah. Right. Well, there's 800 something Pokemon in total now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in this game in particular, there's only about two. I think it was 248. And I'm only at like 100. So I
okay.
have quite a few more to go before
you have your work cut out for you to get that one.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see. But yeah, enjoyed that game. Enjoyed a lot of the changes. I think I've talked about this before. So, but looking forward to the future Pokemon games and see how they iterate or on those games by including some of these changes. So
yeah, definitely. That'll
be cool. Hmm. All right, what have you been up to?
All right. I'll list one of the games I've been playing. Is one we've talked about at some length before, but I hadn't finished Triangle Strategy, and I brought my Switch up north with me and had some time to play that in the evenings. And you might talk about this later, but we had sort of planned to both give the Monster Hunter Rise trial. I guess it was a trial, not a demo.
Yeah, the free trial. Yeah.
A playthrough so we could talk about it, but brought my Switch and could not connect to any internet. And without the Switch being able to tell that you have the Nintendo Switch Online service, it would not let me play it, even though I had already downloaded it when I was at home. So that was a bummer. But since I had some content left to finish in Triangle Strategy, I managed to finish that instead. I really, really enjoyed that. I think pretty highly of that game, and I would love to pick it up and play through the rest of the story.
Really. So impressed. how did your third chapter go? Which way did you end up going?
Oh, which one was it? To I think it was Hyzant.
Okay. Which one was that? Was that Frederica's hometown or not her hometown? I don't remember anymore.
I'm trying to remember now. I think it was. I don't know. I don't remember anymore. Yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting, the whole like, your party was kind of split on the decision, right?
Yes. And yeah, that was really, really cool.
You could talk to some of them and sort of successfully or unsuccessfully try to convince them to change their mind.
Right.
So I think when I was done, I had one guy who still wanted to go the other way. A couple were undecided, but everybody else I had swayed. So
yeah.
Teaches you how to be a politician, I guess.
Yeah.
How to get everybody to agree with you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so as you mentioned, we jumped into the Monster Hunter Rise trial last week. Angela and I played that for a couple nights, got a few hours into it. I really like the theme, the setting of the game. It's all like in an ancient Japanese kind of setting this time, lots of Japanese looking buildings and food and that sort of thing. So that's really cool. We always enjoy that aesthetic. And we did a bunch of hunts. There is definitely a lot of changes in this game compared to Monster Hunter World. So Monster Hunter World was our first Monster Hunter game, so we're pretty new to the franchise. But there was still quite a few drastic changes coming into this one. So in Monster Hunter World, one of the big things was, well, you're going out and hunting the monsters. So you're trying to track them. You're looking for monster claws, like in the trees or their footprints in the mud and that kind of thing. So yeah, you go around tracking the monsters and eventually you come across them and you hunt them, and then they run away and you chase them down and track them down again. And eventually you defeat them or capture them. But in this game, you go into an open world and you open up your map and you're like, your map just has a big icon say a monster is here, and then you just have to run over and fight the monster. So
okay, so you don't have to hunt them down.
You don't have to actually do any hunting or tracking. It's more of a just go directly to the monster.
Just, hey Google, where is the nearest monster?
Right,
and
exactly.
It gives you directions.
Yeah. So when you first go into a zone, the map will be.
My phone just answered me. Oh goodness.
Well, where was the nearest monster, Google?
It gave me directions to Donut Monster.
Oh, okay.
Which is a place, apparently. That's amazing.
That's hilarious.
That's the kind of monsters I want to track.
Yeah, Donut Monsters. Give me all the Donut Monsters.
Yeah. Donut Monster Hunter.
So yeah, anyway, when you go into a new zone, they have the map's going to be all grayed out, so you don't know how to navigate it necessarily. You don't know where all the pathways are and what rocks you have to climb over, that sort of thing. But then as you explore the map, it'll show up on your mini map or whatever. It'll uncover as you explore it some more.
Okay.
And then yeah, when you first go into a zone, it doesn't tell you which monster is where, but there's usually like three monsters in three different locations on the map. And then as you fight the monster, or after you fight the monster the first time, then the next time you would encounter that monster, it would show the icon of that specific monster.
Okay.
On the map. So then you can, if you're trying to hunt a specific monster to farm its parts for a certain gear set or something, then you can, after you fight him the first time, then you can find him easier the next time.
Then you're more familiar with him and you can find him easier again.
Right. Cool. But, yeah, we mostly just did a few of the multiplayer hunts, which are more or less just side quests. We didn't start going through any of the story yet. But we had one night where we played with the three of us, myself, Angela, and her brother, Hendrik. He was trying it out with us, too. And
cool.
Yeah, so that's super fun because you can play with up to four people. And it was super easy to jump in and out of playing with other people, which is sweet. You just set up a lobby and you could either put in a pin code or not. If you don't put in a code, like random people will come in. At one point we had like a level 153 guy come in and just completely decimate a monster for us. We're level one at the time. He just comes in and slays the monster for us really quickly. So it's kind of funny. But pretty excited about this game. We're going to get into it probably in a couple months. There was also a, they had a little presentation as well concerning their, their expansion that's coming out in June 30th. A Sunbreak comes out, and that's basically a big expansion with a bunch of new monsters and stuff. So we will pick it up sometime around there. We're gonna finish Monster Hunter World. We're almost done with the Iceborne expansion on that one. And then we're gonna play Chrono Cross in a couple of weeks when that comes out on Switch.
So Monster Hunter Rise, assuming, since because you came across a level 150, I assume the game has been out for a little while already. Yeah, it's been out
for about a year, I want to say.
Okay, so this wasn't like a way for them to kind of test their servers like they've done for some of the games.
No, this trial was kind of at the same time that they had their presentation. I think it was just to get people into the game so they can hear about the expansion, try out the game, and then either you can get into the game now and be caught up by the time the expansion comes out, or or pick it up when the expansion comes out. So
okay, cool.
But Monster Hunter is very, very fun.
Yeah, I was really kind of looking forward to trying it, then sat down with my Switch and was a little bummed.
That's a bummer for sure.
Loaded up, and then of course the trial ended while I was still up north, so did not.
It wasn't very long
to check it out, but maybe eventually.
For sure.
All right. So something else that we have been. We've had the Nintendo Switch Online expansion pass for a little while now, and sort of had a chance to look at what's available on there. So we've played some of the N64 games on there, which is super fun. I haven't started yet, but I am really looking forward to trying Paper Mario on there. I've never tried it, and it has sort of, you know, funny Nintendo RPG like vibes, similar to Super Mario RPG back on the SNES, and it looks like a fun game, so I can see myself playing through that.
For sure. I actually just played through that for the first time myself last year. I played it on my N64, I really enjoyed it, so I think you will too.
Cool. And there's a few other games out there RPG, that I want to for sure. give a try. So, about a week ago that the first wave of new Mario Kart tracks came out.
Yeah.
So there's a total of 32 tracks coming, and it seems like it's going to come in four waves.
Actually, it's 48. There's six whole cups, or sorry, 12 whole cups, six waves.
What?
So 12 cups of four tracks. So 48 levels.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
It's 12, 100%. It's not eight cups?
No. Nope,
are the 12 cups in the game now?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, because
it is definitely doubling.
There was originally eight. There was originally eight, and then they added the four more on the Wii U expansion. Yes. And so then there was 12. So they released all those ones again on the Switch version, and now we're getting 12 more. Yeah. So we just got our first two last week.
Okay, I actually thought it was a little bit odd. If you didn't know about it, and you weren't looking for these extra tracks, it would be very easy to miss them, even if you did have the expansion pass and you went to play Mario Kart 8 on your Switch. It definitely does not, smack you in the face when you come in for the first time saying, hey, you know, you got these new tracks available. I had to look for them. I saw something had updated on my Switch, so I thought that they were already there. Loaded up Mario Kart. And it said they weren't there yet, so I had to go through a couple of hoops, download them. Yeah. But then I still had, while doing that, I still had Mario Kart running, like in the background.
Oh, okay. And that one didn't.
So I went back into it, and they still weren't there. So then I did have to exit out, and when I came back again, then they were playable. So that was a relief. And we only played two of the cups so far, but really liked them. A lot of fun.
Yep. So there is only, they added just the two cups for now. So every couple of months we'll get two more cups. I basically did the same thing too. Cause it was Thursday night. Yeah. Like late Thursday night last week, where I started seeing them go up online, but I guess they went up first over in Japan and then slowly as the world turned, we got access to them. But so yeah, I kind of did the same thing where I couldn't find where the tracks were going to be, and then I didn't realize that you had to download them separately on the eShop. Mm-hmm. For I just assumed they would pop up if you had the thing, but you do have to download it separately.
Yeah, and if you didn't know that they should be available, that it would be super easy to miss, which is kind of too bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for the most part people will know but that they're coming, if especially if you have that the DLC or the expansion pass. But
yeah, they're available even without the expansion pass, but then you have to buy them. I assume you can buy them like wave by wave.
No, you have to buy the whole thing.
Oh, it's the whole thing? Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's like $33 Canadian to buy the expansion pass.
Which is still pretty sweet.
Yeah,
I mean, it's doubling the number of tracks. It's not quite like, obviously it's not another Mario Kart game, but it's pretty much, it's doubling the amount of content that you have. So if you enjoy Mario Kart, this is pretty good news, whether you have the online expansion pass or not.
Yeah, for sure. The online family pass, it definitely makes a lot more sense to have the family pass if you have a bunch of, a couple different families having it instead of everybody buying their own version of the expansion pass, for sure.
Yeah, that's a nice thing. It can be, the family pass can be shared. Doesn't just have to be in one household, right?
Yeah, which is sweet. So did you have a favorite course that you played? So I'll run down them. Do a rundown of them real quick, the new ones. So we got Paris Promenade, which is from the Mario Kart Tour phone game. I didn't really put a lot of time into the phone game, so I tried it a few times.
Yeah, exactly. I tried it a little bit too. Probably played it about as much as I played Mario Go? What was it? Mario Run. Run. Yeah.
I liked Mario Run quite a bit, actually. I played that one quite a bit.
Yeah, I want to try them out. Like, honestly, I want to give anything that Nintendo comes out with a try, especially as far as its free content. Generally not super big on the mobile games.
Mm-hmm.
But and Mario Kart, it like looked really cool, but not something that I would sink a lot of time into, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool that they're drawing games drawing tracks from that as well.
Yeah, it's cool that they're kind of reimagining them into Mario Kart 8, and it's cool that they seem to be doing like real world settings for the most part.
Yeah.
So that's kind of neat. So the first one, it was Paris. And then in the second cup, we have Tokyo. So that's cool. So the first cup is the Golden Dash Cup. So Paris Promenade, Toad Circuit from Mario Kart 7.
That's the Wii, right?
No, Mario Kart 7 was the 3DS one. I think this is a really basic course.
You're right.
Yeah, this is just kind of just like a, this is probably like the starting course in Mario Kart 7. It was basically just a loop. Okay. So a couple little squigglies. Mm-hmm. And then a great one after that, Choco Mountain from the N64 game.
I that is definitely a contender for my favorite so far. Yeah. We played so much Mario Kart 64 back then, that those courses all have a lot of nostalgia. Super fun. Really like those ones. But definitely they gave it, I mean, it's definitely true to the original track, but it got the facelifts. Because if they just copy and pasted the other tracks in, they would definitely feel a little flat.
For sure, especially the Super Nintendo ones.
yeah literally flat. It feels like it belongs in the game, but super cool that it's bringing back the feels of those classic tracks that some of us remember.
Yeah, and I don't know how many of these have been remastered on other games, but so I'm not sure which ones are like the first time being re-released since their original, or if they were on like the 3DS. I didn't play the 3DS one or the DS one very much. I basically only played Mario Kart on the consoles, so I haven't played too many of the handheld versions.
I played quite a bit of the DS one. I mean, somebody can correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I feel like most of those tracks were new tracks. There may have been a few from Super Nintendo, honestly, but I think it was pretty much all original to that game.
That's pretty sweet. And then, so yeah, the last course on the first cup is coconut. I wrote coconut mall.
Okay.
from Mario Kart Wii, which is, that was one of my favorites on the Wii version. So that was cool.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. You mentioned how the Toads, what was the second track?
Toad Circuit.
Yeah.
From Mario Kart 7.
And it is a simple one, but kind of nice actually, because you can really get those big long boosts on those,
long
curves. We were noticing that we were both like, you know, slide, purple boost. And then
yeah, you get the purple. Yeah. Yeah. And just go like crazy.
Love the purple boost.
One sad thing on Coconut Mall is the cars at the end of it, they stay stationary. In the Wii version, they would like drive back and forth and try to run you over.
Okay. Yeah. 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 I noticed. Yeah. I definitely ran into the cars once or twice. So.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, and then, so yeah, getting into the second cup's Tokyo Blur, which is another one from Mario Kart Tour. And, it's another cool level. I like how the two Mario Kart Tour ones, they kind of change on your laps. Like, they'll have arrows going one way, and then the next time the arrows will be going another way. So you're not always doing the same track, which is kind of neat. And I think, was it the Paris one? Or one of them like flips you around and you go backwards through the course on your third lap.
I think that might be the Tokyo one. Yeah,
which is pretty cool. I almost ran into a bullet bill coming the other way because I was just doing well or whatever, and going back on my third lap, but there were still people trying to finish their second lap, and like a bullet bill almost ran into me.
Usually you don't get to see the bullet bills coming.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool. I like that a lot. Shroom Ridge from Mario Kart DS. I didn't remember this one, but it kind of looked like Toad. What's the Toad one with the cars?
Toad's Turnpike.
Circuit? Toad's Turnpike. Thank you. Kind of reminded me of that one.
Yeah.
Just cars going along a road.
Yeah. I can see that.
Sky Garden. I wasn't familiar with this one at all. That's from Mario Kart Super Circuit, which was the Game Boy Advance one, I think. I more or less thought that was a remake of the Super Nintendo game, but I guess it had some of its own courses as well.
Yeah, I definitely think that I've seen some of the tracks from the GBA game before. There's definitely some original stuff from that game. What was that one called again?
Sky Garden. Lots of clouds and vines and stuff.
Okay, I feel like I've seen that one in a more recent game as well, but maybe it's something similar.
Yeah, they usually just credit the original one.
Yeah.
Because there is another sky kind of course in Mario Kart 8, Cloud Top Cruise. That one's got like the airships and the clouds and stuff.
Okay, maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, and the last one's kind of funny, the Ninja Hideaway. I don't know if you got to do this one, but this one was really cool. You're driving like up onto rooftops and...
Okay, this one, stuff. And there's I'm pretty like sure we actually didn't ninjas. Get to this one, but that sounds fun.
So, the course is really, really cool. It's kind of funny, though, because it's not credited as a Mario Kart Tour course. So anytime you go into a course, it credits what game it came from. But this one didn't have any credits, implying that it was an original course for Mario Kart 8. But it is for a Mario Kart Tour, so I thought that was kind of funny. Because the other ones from Tour said they're from Mario Kart Tour, but this one had no label for some reason. I don't know, maybe because it was just missed,
sneaky,
but...
like a ninja.
Yeah, I guess so. But yeah, it's kind of fun. It's got like spike traps that fall from the ceilings that you can get squished by a spike trap, or ninja shy guys will pop out and jump out in front of you and stuff. So it's a fun one.
Nice.
I liked it a lot.
Oh, well, you're gonna have to try that one for sure.
So yeah, I had a lot of fun playing Mario Kart this week. Ange and I actually went and played a bunch of the battle mode in Mario Kart 8. Did you remember there's a battle mode in Mario Kart 8?
Yes. That was a new thing for the Switch version, right?
Yeah, they redid the battle mode for the Switch version because the Wii U didn't have one originally, and then they added like a not very good battle mode to the Wii U version.
Now, I know I've played the battle mode, but I don't know which version I've played because I know I wasn't super... keen on it. Maybe I haven't
in the Wii
the
U
version.
One in the Wii U one they would just put you on regular tracks and you would drive around and battle people, but they were just the regular tracks from the game and not battle arenas.
Yeah,
but this new version has all sorts of different ones. So there's like a cops and robbers mode where split up into two teams. The one team's got piranha plants on the front, and you got to drive around and try to catch everybody before the other guys release all their friends. So that was super fun.
Yeah.
It's got the classic balloon battle, or where you just, anytime you take a damage, you lose one of your balloons. Yep. Then there was like the shine sprite one, where it was you collect the shine sprite and then you just got to hold on to it for as long as you can.
Okay.
And then once your timer runs out, then you win. And then there was one where you try to collect the most coins. There's just coins around the map, and then anytime you take damage, you'll drop a bunch of coins, and then people can steal them from you.
Okay.
And then there was also a bob-omb blast, where the only item is bob-ombs, and you're just lobbing bob-ombs at everyone, and they're exploding everywhere.
Lobbing bob-ombs. Try to say that five times fast.
Lobbing bob-ombs. Yeah.
Twice. But twice will do.
Twice. Yeah, that's good enough for a podcast.
You win.
Yeah. But yeah, that battle mode's really sweet, Mario Kart 8, okay. And I would not mind playing that a little bit more.
Okay, cool. I'll have to check that out.
Hmm.
So something else my kids have been enjoying is the additional content with the expansion pass that comes for Animal Crossing. Now,
cool. Yeah.
I don't remember what it's called, but it's basically, if you remember, Happy Home Designer.
Nope,
no, that's a 3DS one. This is something called something like something Paradise.
Yep,
you're right. Whatever it's called, but the new it's very, very much like Happy Home Designer, which my kids love. So they are enjoying that. So that's really cool because it's a couple of their favorite games, between Mario Kart and Animal Crossing. So cool that this stuff is available.
Mm-hmm. Happy Home Paradise, is the official.
Okay, so it is the Happy Home.
Yep,
nice.
So yeah, in this one, you have to basically build a house in the way that different animals, just fill their house with things that different animals would like, kind of thing. That's the idea.
So they're kind of like, you're sort of given the job as the designer, and they're telling you what they want their house to look like. Okay, I think that sounds a lot of what I think Happy Home Designer was as well. So
yeah.
Nice that they put that, that's an option in this game too.
Hmm. So I checked out, I think I talked about a couple weeks or a couple episodes back, Chocobo GP was coming out at some point earlier this month. I didn't end up purchasing it. I just downloaded the free version. The free version kind of lets you race online against other people, but you just don't have a lot of options. You only have like three characters, and you can't unlock too much stuff. Okay. The racing's pretty good. I am turned off by all of the microtransactions.
Oh no.
There's a lot of microtransactions. Like, you go into the game and it pops up with like your typical phone junk kind of game, where it's like you have three different currencies. The one's your premium one that you have to pay real money for, and then you got the one currency that you get for playing the game, and then there's a third one that I don't even know what it's for. So you got all these currencies and you're trying to level up to maybe earn some of these currencies, and it just comes across, and you have like daily login bonuses and all that sort of stuff. Okay. It's just all the kind of stuff that you really don't want to see for a game that you paid $60 for, or whatever it is.
Like, it's you're playing sort of a demo, but the game does cost money, right?
Yeah, like it's I think it's not quite full price. I think it's 40 US, so like it's like 55 Canadian or something.
But now these things that you're paying for, is it like, I'm not a big League of Legends guy, or some of these other similar games like Heroes of the Storm, but you can unlock more characters, you can unlock a lot of aesthetic stuff, which is not going to give you an advantage necessarily, but you can play the game for free. Is it similar to that it's just sort of collectibles and aesthetic stuff, or is it necessary to actually, if you want to be able to enjoy it, you're going to have to spend some extra money?
Yeah. So, I mean, so the free trial itself is basically just a demo. Like, you can't unlock anything at all. Mm-hmm. So the free trial is just to go in. But if you would play with your friend who owns the game, then you can kind of use some of their stuff that they've unlocked, from what I understand, like their courses and that sort of thing. But yeah, the extra money is just to unlock a bunch of like additional characters and stuff by the sounds of it. So like, yeah, I think every couple of months there's another season for you to buy into. So you buy your season pass and that only lasts like 2 months. I think it's like 10, 15 bucks or something for the season pass. And you're gonna have to do that every couple of months. And then there's going to be characters that are more or less locked behind buying that season pass. I think maybe if you grind enough, you can get enough currency to be able to get the character eventually, but you need to be playing a lot from what I've heard. But people have been pretty vocal about how unhappy they are with the microtransactions and stuff. So I think they're backpedaling on it a little bit. So I'll keep an eye on it. But yeah, they're locking characters like Cloud behind these season passes, like in the first one.
Yeah, it's such a weird thing.
The most iconic characters.
I mean, locking content behind a paywall. That's what a game is to begin with, right? You know, you're unlocking content by buying the game. When it comes to DLC, you buy DLC. The idea that they would hold back content to release later as DLC is like, how do you feel about that? Okay, I'm not interested in. You know, what's the difference between microtransactions and then season pass or a subscription to a game, right? Like, I mean, either way, you're paying extra, you're paying money for content, basically, is what it comes down to. It's just, it gets to a point where, you know, you might be comfortable up to a certain point. Anything beyond that, it's kind of just seems a little bit under the table. Like, so. Yeah, the microtransactions, anything resembling microtransactions is going to not be super popular.
Surprised
that's still being done, but
booting up a game on my Switch that looks like a phone game just makes me go blah. Which is too bad, because the racing's actually pretty good. Like, the racing seems pretty tight and the controls are good, so that it feels pretty good. There's not a lot of variety in courses so far. I think I've only played 4 or 5 different tracks out of, I don't know, I probably did 12, 13 races. I think there's 9 in the game right now altogether. So there's not a ton of tracks. Then there is quite a bit of customization and stuff to unlock in terms of carts and costumes for your characters and that sort of thing. So a lot of stuff that I would like to play. So I'm still kind of tempted on it with it. I'm gonna keep an eye on it. We'll see, maybe later this year it'll go on sale, and hopefully I don't miss out on too many of the characters.
We'll it sounds like fun. Definitely sounds like something up your alley.
Oh yeah, and anytime you remix Final Fantasy music and put it into a game, I want to play it. So.
Oh yeah for sure.
So, but you got anything else you've been playing yet?
I guess, you know, we're still playing 7 Days. I kind of feel like we're coming to the end of, you know, I've mentioned before that whenever a new update comes out, we play it for a while, go through a phase of playing it again. I feel like we're kind of coming maybe to the end ish. We've definitely had some trouble with multiplayer games getting really glitchy.
Oh, really?
We had some pretty hilarious stuff happen this week. 3 of us were exploring a big building together. And then all of a sudden there was like grass inside where there shouldn't be grass. And two of us continued on, or the other two continued on, stepped onto the grass, fell through the grass and landed, or were teleported outside the building, hundreds of feet up in the air, and promptly fell to their deaths. And then I stayed back. I just watched them disappear, but then I had to like get out of the building and it was just crumbling for no reason. Like, pieces of it were just coming down and the whole building was turning into trouble. Anyway, it's been kind of glitchy, and this has happened before on a game that one of the players has hosted, but now this is happening, and this is a server that we rent, so that's a bummer. I don't know where the problem lies, but it's no fun having to restart because of glitchiness, because we've done that once or twice before, because you put quite a bit of time into it.
So this building was something that you guys have put a lot of time into building, or
no? Well, so this is just a random building where we had a quest and sort of clear it out, but then just it was just becoming very glitchy and crazy things happening. There's been some glitchy things happening on this map already, like where there's supposed to be a lake, the water is just like 100 feet up in the air. It's just a wall of water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just silly stuff like that. But anyway, it's a great game. We've been enjoying it a lot, and I'm sure when they do another update, whether it's Alpha 21, we'll be back to it again for sure. It's cool. Super fun.
Cool. All right, the last one I got on my list this week is I just quickly started Skyward Sword HD over the last week.
Awesome.
Not very far into it, about an hour or two, but seems like it's going to be great. There is a lot of talking in the beginning of this game that I didn't remember, and not a lot of playing. Like, I think I played for an hour and a half or something, and I did not get to do much.
Okay.
There's a lot of talking in the beginning of this game. I tried using my Joy-Con for motion controls, and then I got to the point where you got your sword and you're trying to chop the wooden they got like the wooden practice dummies or whatever in the night building.
Yep.
And it mostly works fine, but it also doesn't half the time. So next time I play, I'm going to try playing with a pro controller and see if I like that a little better.
So it's true to the
original. Yeah, exactly. It's remake is spot on.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Well, you'll have to let us know how it works using the analog stick on the pro controller.
Yeah, I'm going to give that a go.
Hopefully that works well, because I would also like to revisit that game. I remember the beginning, and I remember being completely enamored with the with that game's beginning. Even though, like you said, you're not doing much, and there's a lot of story and cutscene in the beginning.
But it is
the characters are fantastic. I really, like.
Grease is awesome.
Grease is awesome. Zelda in that game is be Zelda's my favorite cool. Zelda. Super, super awesome. I like the characters and the story of that game are some of the highlights for sure. So,
yeah. Cool. Well, I think that's going to about do it for this week, unless you had anything else.
No, I don't think so. Yet. Well, this short little episode turned out to be a little longer.
Yeah. We still got about 50 minutes or so. So that's good. Justin, you had a stream last night. How did that go? I didn't get a chance to pop in and say hi.
The stream went really well. Had some people stop in, say hello, request some songs. So it was
that's fun.
It was a good time. I missed out on doing my stream last week too, also because couldn't do it because I was up north. So it was good to be back and do that again. And I've been exploring some other streamers lately and making some friends that way, and then watching other people stream music on Twitch is really inspiring too. And then you definitely pick up on some more songs you think of, and I'd like to play that sometime, and maybe you'll do that on your stream too.
For sure.
And it's a pretty cool community, especially there's a lot of people with huge audiences, and that's fine. But there's definitely lots of super talented people on Twitch that you can find rooms, that maybe have a dozen or, around their number of people in the chat, which is just super, super personable and nice that you can,
way better to
interact with the other chat and with the streamer actually has time in between songs to read the chat and interact. And then, you usually have a chance to request some songs. Just super cool. I'm really still enjoying watching some people on Twitch and doing the streaming. It's fun. And if you would like to check out my stream, I stream on most Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern time at twitch.tv/bigjustin12.
Awesome. I'm hoping to stream tomorrow or yesterday when this comes out. I should be finishing up Pikmin 3, I think. I think I'm on the last level of Pikmin 3. So hopefully everything goes well, I should finish up that one and start up a new game.
Final Pikmin stream.
Yeah, hopefully. We'll see what happens. But if you wanted to check me out on my streams, I usually stream Thursday afternoons at noon Eastern time. And you follow me at twitch.tv/eldorn14. And if you would like to write into the show, comment on anything we talked about tonight, or if you have any topics or anything we'd or questions for us to tackle, you can email us at serenitygamingpodcast@gmail.com.
You can jump into all the mistakes that we made.
Oh yeah, that's fine. I like that. Send in all your corrections.
Yeah.
And or you can jump into our Discord server. I will try to remember to put a link in the show notes. I remember sometimes. But anyway, that's going to be it for today. You all have yourselves a wonderful day.
Thanks for listening.